Dr. Kotler is a Dean's Professor and Founding Chair of the Department of Epidemiology at the University of Florida. As psychiatric epidemiology, Dr. Kotler's 30 years of research has involved developing assessments of addiction and high-risk behaviors to community-based interventions to reduce high-risk sexual and drug use behaviors. Her community-engaged research spans the globe. She's authored over 200 publications, received numerous awards, and mentored over 60 fellows through several NIH training programs.
Thank you very much. Thank you for being here. To be in this session, you had to either be recovering from a cold or having a flight taking off very soon. I want to thank my co-workers, Krishna Vadaparty, Catherine Striley, and Sanjeev Jain. I have also no relationships to disclose, unfortunately. So today I'm going to talk about our global research capacity building initiatives in India that we've been working on since 2001, present a little bit about our mentoring model, and share some highlights of our training program. It's been interesting to hear the talks today so far, from models, competency building, and changing of degrees to grassroots efforts. So the work that we do now is supported by the Fogarty International Center of the NIH. John Fogarty was a congressman from Rhode Island, and he played an instrumental part in growing the international research portfolio of the NIH. There is an appropriation specifically for Fogarty International Center, and the money has grown, the sourcing has grown tremendously since it started. And it was started through Lyndon Johnson. He put this into the line item in the budget, and since then it's continued. So the mission of Fogarty is to really identify global changes, anticipate all of these effects on health and well-being, and mobilize research to reduce disparities in global health. So there was an initiative that started in 2001. There was a cohort of us called the ICORTA grantees, and it stands for International Clinical Operational and Health Services Research and Training Award. And this award was supporting training to facilitate a collaborative, multidisciplinary international effort in these particular areas. At the same time, there had been an HIV/AIDS initiative and a brain initiative, but the ICORTA was really to look at clinical operational issues, comparative effectiveness. And we had a partnership with the National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences in Bangalore that we wanted to work with and help to build capacity with. And at the time, I was at Washington University School of Medicine. We worked with NIMHANS, which is in Bangalore, where the STAR is, it's a resource-poor area. But there was high visibility and high effort and interest in building research capacity at the National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences, because they are the government entity for policy making, for research, and for some state-of-the-art clinical areas. So our program reflected this wide range of expertise to understand the complex etiologies of psychiatric and behavioral disorders. And there have been no studies or no training initiatives that had really dealt with psychiatric issues. So we were one of the only training grants that focused in this area. So we paired U.S. and Indian mentors together, and at the time we bidirectionally were training each other. So we learned from them and they learned from us, and we paired the mentors with the mentee. We had an apprenticeship model to learn all the aspects of conducting research, and we had a focus on longer-term training for bringing people from 12 to 36 months to the United States. These were the areas of focus. We had psych-epi, we had prevention science, classification, nosology, implementation science, services research, and genetic epidemiology. Those were the areas that we were focusing on and the areas that the people at NIMHANS were interested in being trained on as well. So the Fogarty activities from 2001 to 2013, when that ICORTA grant ended, we were very proud of, because we had 15 long-term fellows from India with an average of 17 months of training. We had 3 months of training for some five MDs. We had short-term Fogarty fellows from India. We had short-term student internships going over. And then we had a series of workshops that were thematic. And we did the very first ethics training at the National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences in a large auditorium that was filled with every seat and people sitting on the stairways to understand more about what they could hear about ethics training, because people had a lot of questions that they had never really been able to ask before. We had students very interested. We had mentors very interested. And we had people from their people who had been on the National IRB, the Human Studies Committees, as well come to this workshop. Our fellows were hungry for contributing to the science in their area, and they all together, they have published 327 papers, many of those in top-tier journals and in English journals. The easy thing about training in India at the National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences is that the official language is English. There are 6 papers still in press, they have book chapters, but our fellows learned how to nominate one another for different awards and to how to solicit us to help them to receive awards as well for their hard work. 47 of our fellows have received an award from the best poster to the Indian Academy of Sciences to an oration award to a gold medal. 44 of the fellows have received grants, and this does not include the grants that we give them when they finish their 12 months of Fogarty. They write a grant, an NIH-style grant, and then they are awarded a $10,000, $11,000 grant to do the work that they started in the U.S. back in India. So more highlights, 3 of our fellows got a master's in psychiatric epidemiology degree. 100% of our fellows returned to India. We had great consequences from the training, with 3 of our fellows starting up their own laboratories, imaging, statistical genetics, and molecular genetics. And it's like a pyramid effect. They now have their own students. They're now training their students. And they're emerging leaders in their field. So Dr. Jagadisha, he said his association with Fogarty opened up windows for him to see and learn from international giants in the field of psychiatry and epi, and he valued the experience a lot. And he's doing a study on premorbid schizophrenia in the highlands in India. Prashanthi is a nurse, and she was extremely excited about her work. She's doing a study now on prescription drug abuse, and she's just submitted 2 papers from her work. She's also teaching other nurses about how to do research. Deepti Varma is she was a postdoctoral fellow as well, and it helped her skills. She did some work with POP Council, working with maternal child health and working out in the field. And her training experience provided her a strong public health perspective in health research. She is a psychiatric social worker. And Santosh, he learned research methodologies, quantitative and qualitative. He learned to improve his writing skills and to make effective presentations at international level conferences, and he has also received a grant. Sonam Lasopa, we'll talk about her. She's a current trainee right now. And she's come from an area with very limited research capacity. And it was serendipity that I met the person that she worked with, who is the deputy director of the Ministry of Health. And he invited me to Sikkim to do a workshop. And from there, we embarked on a new capacity building program. When I left Washington University to come to the University of Florida, we received a second Fogarty International Center training grant, which is what we're working with now. And this is on chronic non-communicable diseases and disorders across the lifespan. So the ICORDA has sunsetted now, and Fogarty has a new chronic non-communicable disease program. And I really urge you to look up the Fogarty International Center programs to see what there is available for your fellows, for your own work as well. So this one is now building on infrastructure from the first Fogarty, taking advantage of the skills that the people at NIMHANS have learned and having them to help us as intermediaries with the people in a high resource poor area in northern India, in Sikkim and Assam. And we're focused on two areas of highest need, the need areas that they asked us to please help them with, because in Sikkim, the suicide rate is number one in India, especially among women. And in Assam, there is a high injection drug use rate, and along with violence. So these are two areas now that we're working with, in addition to the Bangalore area. And there's only one clinical psychologist in all of Sikkim, and that's Sonam Lasopa, our trainee. They have they're up in the Himalayan mountains. They have the third highest mountain peak in the world. And it's a beautiful area, a beautiful region with this very high suicide rate. So it's a difficult place to get to. And yet the people there they talk about this in their news, in their media, as to why is this a problem now and how can we do something to change this. They've also had natural disasters. They've had earthquakes. And so it's a rugged terrain that also the people are resilient, but they are in high need of help. So our aims are now to really expand and sustain this effort, bringing it to Assam and Sikkim, develop an increased capacity by training pre- and postdoctoral fellows, strengthening the training in the responsible conduct of research, and bridging a gap between practice and implementation research. The three areas that they want us to focus on are addiction, violence, and mental health. And our logistics are we will have four postdocs a year for 5 years, for 4 to 6 months appointments. We have a training advisory group. We have frequent discussions through Skype. We have formal courses and seminars and tutorials and an apprenticeship style with focused and required responsible conduct research activities. We draw heavily on the NIH NIDA mentoring guide. And our model is where we pair, again, the mentors with the mentors in the United States with those in India. And Dr. Striley is our ombudsperson. Our mentoring mosaic is what's really important. It's the glue that keeps us together, is that we are mentoring through the lifespan and putting these pieces together so that we have mentorship in childhood, adolescence, adulthood, and older age. These are the areas that we're really trying to focus on in this short 4 to 6 month training period, with also continual integration over the time when we visit them and they come to visit with us. So we have the requirements on the left, and then on the right in the Rubik's Cube, we have those other things that our mentoring guides have told us that we need to talk about. It's the feedback loop, negotiating, enabling people, reflecting, preparing for the next step, and following up. This is the launch of our program. We had our first meeting in 2012 with our group. And we've reached the leaders, the faculty members, the fellows, but we really are trying to do a broad training, building capacity, and getting information back from workshop attendees who can come from anywhere in India. So these are the areas that we kicked off with based on the needs that they had. So we had 159 people at the workshop. These are two of our trainees who just finished, and they are both in Assam. One is in Assam and one is in Mangalore, India, who've completed training, and they're trying to do things now in the pyramid effect to build capacity where they are. We have had some highlights from our second meeting, where we met with the Minister of Health, who said, yes, he wants to do something about the high rate of suicide. So we have our apprenticeship project model with Sonam Lasopa, who is doing a study now on psychological autopsy of suicide, She has received money from the health department in Sikkim to look at psychological autopsy and trying to understand what is going on with the suicide rates in Sikkim. We're also developing proposals from the Indian partners, encouraging them, especially our newly returned trainees, to develop grant proposals, working in tandem with us and also in their own areas. We have a proposal also on domestic violence in the area of Assam. That was the area of greatest need that they had. So in conclusion, how effective is this mentoring mosaic model, pairing the U.S. and the Indian mentors with their mentees? And we think that perhaps we're on a good trajectory to enhance capacity of a new generation of researchers. And we do have available positions if you know people who are interested in participating in our Fogarty International Training Center project. We would really appreciate hearing from them. One of our colleagues at University of Florida has also just received a Fogarty training program for Mongolia. So they'll be doing a similar kind of effort in Mongolia. So thank you very much for your coming today. We have brochures as well. Yes. Jim. Yes. We are asked that question always. And because there's no airport, there's no train, there's no way to get there except through a 4.5-5-hour car ride, it's difficult to get there. However, more people are going there, and they are building an airport now. Sikkim was just listed in Lonely Planet as the number one place to visit in the world. So what they think is happening is because of media and because of more people coming in, there are more Western culture being brought into the area. And they think that this could be the reason, and adding stress. But Krishna, do you have a thought on the etiology of the suicide?
Wanted to come up here because it's
taping. Suicide, especially among the young, one of the assumptions is that the entire state is in transition. And if you look at the history of the place, actually, formerly it was with China, now it's with India. It's liberated in 1970s. So the resources are poor, and people are migrating out. And there's a lot of unrest, basically, among the youth. And that's one of the reasons they're assuming. However, they're not really clear about it. It's especially the etiology, and so that they can formulate some intervention strategies. So the psychological autopsy study is a step towards that. That's what we're hoping, that we'll gain more insights into the problem.
Thank you. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the question was where to go to get the information, because it seems very sparse. And it is sparse. We have data from our Minister of Health. We have a lot of anecdotal information, but there are published rates on the different suicide rates by country. So I'll give you my card. We can get you in touch with Sonam Lasopa. Thank you very much.